Hear at Glenn's Wrestling Report.
Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the big guy, Ryback, joined by Raj Geary, Wrestling Inc., WrestlingInc.com. What's going on this week, Raj?
It's been, I'm feeling good. How about you? It's been crazy, craziness.
Yeah, no, I feel better than ever. So yeah. I'm 39 now, but I feel 26, 27. So I'm...
Those pictures popping up everywhere, all these articles about how
my newfound
shape you've
vegan.
Gotten with the vegan diet.
I've always been in shape, so I think it's a little unfair to the because I think if you go and just look at the ab photos of that I post, I will say though my weight and everything, like I'm in the 290s in lean right now, and I'm going on week 8 of being vegan. I have no intentions of slowing down on it. Every workout and every week, I'm just getting better and better. And the inflammation just keeps going down. The scar tissue, we keep breaking more and more in my shoulder. You know, yesterday training legs and like I'm leg pressing 1,080 pounds easy. Like not even like, and that used to be where I would at least feel it. I don't know what I'm peaking really timing wise with all this going into the stem cells in February. And I wish I can get them right now. I'm very, very eager to get going, but there's no crowds in wrestling, nothing going on, but I was happy to see that they did get some coverage in the vegan community. I'm like the golden ticket for these people to a muscled guy, the most jacked vegan, as I say, on the planet that can help raise awareness on how beneficial the diet can be. So they did say I was retired though, and there were two major flaws in it. They said I was retired, which there's no source for that or anything, which have never even been a discussion. And two, I'm known as the big man, not the big guy. So they really did their homework on the article.
I mean, a Wikipedia search would have brought that up.
But I mean, you click on anything that I do, and it's the big guy Ryback. I go, God, I'm retired and I'm the big man, but at least I'm big, so I'm happy.
Yeah, at least they got that part right. So this yeah. is medium-sized man wouldn't have worked.
It was good though. I'm very happy though, everything. Yeah. So
well, obviously right now COVID has got everything kind of changing and plans changing, and right now WWE is scheduled to leave the Thunderdome in just a few weeks. By this time this month they'll be gone. I believe the first week of December they got their contract extended a couple weeks. They were supposed to go right after Survivor Series, and apparently one of the places they're looking at is Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's an outdoor stadium. It's a baseball stadium. Could hold like 45,000 fans, 42,000 fans rather. And it would be outdoors. They'd have fans there. It wouldn't be the Thunderdome. The only thing is, it's kind of an old arena. The power goes out a lot during baseball games. It's happened several times, but still it would be in front of fans, no longer at the Thunderdome. But that is just one of the options that they're looking at. And they sent a survey this past week to fans asking how comfortable they'd be, you know, in indoor stadium, how indoor arena, how comfortable they'd be outdoors, if they would even go at all. So they're clearly looking at places where they can hold fans.
Yeah, man, Tropicana Field. I didn't realize. I've been there for the Rays games. I've been to one or two of them when I lived there. That was, I mean, but I guess that was a new stadium when I was a kid. So that is, it is. Time flies, man, because it doesn't seem like all that long ago to me, but clearly it has been a minute. The you know, the Thunderdome, watching that and seeing that, like you said, like that is the most realistic like feel as far as the, even though I like having the people there, like AEW, and the more you see it though, it is weird because it's like a really empty show still. Right. You know, that's what it reminds you of kind of a little bit, as great as it is, as better as it is than the other. But, you know, I think we got to eventually, that Thunderdome, they can only, it's expensive. They only have that place for a certain period of time. So, you know, maybe they're forced to look at other options. It'll be interesting to see that the production on outside. Is that an indoor stadium? Do they have a roof on that or no?
No. Oh, yes, they do. I'm sorry. It's a dome stadium.
Stadium. Yeah. So they'll be able to it'll be like an indoor show still, the way they have that set up. Yeah. Cause I could have swore when I was there. But yeah, man, I think it's people choose to go and they it's not going to be full capacity anyways. I think it's a step in the direction of getting back to normal a little bit.
Yeah.
So AEW's doing it. They're fine.
Yeah. One thing that looks like is not coming back is live events. I guess WWE have been telling talents during contract negotiations that the old way of touring and doing house shows is not coming back.
Praise the Lord, Raj. Praise. I'm not religious, but praise the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, it's
that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, no more working Christmas unless Monday Night Raw falls out of Christmas, but they just released another dozen employees this past week, including Tony Chimmel, who's been there a long time.
Yeah. Great guy.
But basically the employees that were let go were the live events division. So they've completely gutted it and apparently have no, and it had been a money loser for a couple of years now. So
since I left, I think, right? That's the timing of it.
Yeah, exactly. Now they got rid of all their drugs.
Ryback claims live events failed because man, that's a beautiful thing. That's a huge story, in my opinion. The Vince McMahon whoring out human beings and killing them early is done with. That's huge. That should be covered by, I mean, that is, this man has been taking advantage of people. And I said, from the beginning, since he took over from his dad. And you can read it in Bob Backlund's book. Bob is one of the greatest guys ever. You could even tell how he changes his tone talking about Vince Jr. in his book. And he doesn't say anything directly, but you could just see the vibe change when he talks about how everything changed when Vince Jr. took over from his dad. Yeah. Man, that is Raj, I'm so happy for wrestlers, man. That's been one thing that for too long I lived it. And it's a big, big reason for the position, the situation I was in. And that company, not there one bit again. Got to constantly remind people on that. So this is huge for the talent and moving forward for future wrestlers getting into the business, that you don't have to destroy your life to go make this man billions of dollars. Beautiful thing. Very happy.
Yeah. I mean, if you would explain the schedule to someone who's not a wrestling fan, they wouldn't believe it, where it's 52 weeks, no time off. And, you know, it's not... You should have mandatory 2 months off of your, you know,
yeah, full tour. 3 to 6 hour drives every night on your own, or right, if you have a car with people, just chugging coffee to stay awake. They like force feeding you coffee there to keep you awake, brother. This is huge. AEW is changing the game. I'm telling you that has a huge part of it, because Vince and them, they were losing money. They weren't going to pull that before. They would, if the virus and all this and AEW didn't come along, they would not have pulled it either. They would have found a way to keep them going one way or the other. So,
yeah,
man, I'm so happy for everybody that they can have a normal life and wrestle. Wrestling is the greatest job on the planet, man. But it's not the greatest job working for there and destroying yourself and losing your family and everything. It sucks. Right. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is huge news. Also, with COVID, you know, throwing all the plans up in the air. And we should say this past week, Pfizer came out and they said their vaccine has, during studies, shown to be 90% effective. It's going to start rolling out next month. It's going to take a while before it's widely available. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Absolutely.
But WrestleMania 37, apparently there is talk of changing the date. Right now it's scheduled for March 28th, 2021. But there are internal discussions to move it to mid-April. I guess just to give it a little more time to see what happens. But yeah, WrestleMania, the date's not set. The location, they still haven't officially announced it, but it's expected to take place in Tampa, not in Los Angeles.
No, I agree. I think they're just buying themselves a little more time and seeing as we're waiting for things to change. And huge news on that vaccine for people. I've heard Pfizer, though, they're going to be doing a combo pack to increase for men to get the vaccine. They're going to be doing a Viagra Cialis vaccine combo to entice people to purchase it. So to try to get those vaccine numbers up. But I do think that it's a good, like, if it gets things back to normal, which I did want to ask you, though, because I did hear somebody left a comment to me yesterday. Is Ticketmaster, did they put out a press release saying that you have to have the vaccine to go to purchase tickets through them?
So what you need to have is either be vaccinated, and then this is their current plan, is it either be vaccinated or have a negative test within 3 days of the show.
Okay.
Now, how they track that is going to be I mean, that's a lot of tracking to do if you're starting to get back to football games and granted, everything. By then, who knows if, you know, football season will probably be over, but whatever. That's a lot of, you know, negative COVID tests to track. So we'll see how it works. I mean, yeah. But that is one of the things, either vaccinated or a negative COVID test.
That's a great point, Raj. I mean, Ticketmaster has their hands full just with their ticket system. Just, I would imagine that you have to bring in a whole new crop of people for that sort of thing. And I mean, that is pretty chaotic.
Right.
It's, I think that's maybe that they're banking on people to the way people are. Let's be honest. A lot of people are lazy and they will just, well, let's just go get the vaccine. I want to go to that Britney Spears concert, hun, or whatever the hell they're going to. I can't, I got to go see that monster trucks, babe. Let's get that vaccine.
I mean, that is a great way to get people to get vaccinated. Yeah. They say you want to go to, you know, this, the NFL this season, you know, Britney Spears or whatever
the monster truck. I don't, you plug into your event of choice. It's, but people, cause getting those tests are actually pretty. And then I know in Vegas, it can be pretty lengthy, the wait sometimes. And, you know, a lot of people wait till last minute to get their tickets and stuff. And I think it's just going to be easier. They're just going to go get poked. And then, yeah. So, I mean, it, at least it's something though, where it seems at least the discussion is shifting to, moving towards getting things going again, so which is music to my ears.
Absolutely. BitCloud Gaming sent a super chat. Thank you, BitCloud Gaming. He says, salute to you, Ryback. It would be awesome to have a one-on-one interview with you, man, if possible.
Thank you very much, buddy.
We also reported exclusively at Wrestling Inc. that WWE is bringing in the Rascals from Impact Wrestling, Desmond Xavier, Zachary Wentz, and Trey Miguel. Their deal with Impact was up, and WWE assigned them. They're smaller guys, so I don't know how well they would do on the main roster, but in NXT, they're super talented, great athletes. Trey Miguel has got star written all over him, so
yeah,
I think they'll do well in NXT.
Which is, yeah. Bring them down there and see what how they fit in into that system, and then either leave them there. Yeah, I mean, NXT needs all the talent they can get too, with everything with Dynamite and stuff right now. But WWE, they have three rosters to fill. But typically, it is much more difficult for a smaller guy to break out on that main roster, specifically in a main event role. You know, you can get anyone over if you want to just give them TV time, but the WWE formula is a little different than other things. NXT's the system down there is a little different for that even. So with Hunter being more involved, where they'll have a better chance to shine.
Yeah. Vince McMahon last week for SmackDown, he missed the TV taping, which was the first TV taping he's missed since the launch of the Thunderdome. That was a couple days after the election. I don't know if that's related at all, but
consoling Donald. Him, Donald, and Linda had a little powwow figuring out what they're going to do with Andrew Yang and the Biden team that's going to come after them.
Right. Jake Hager did an interview this past week with Chris Jericho, and he talked about his Money in the Bank plans. And, you know, when he won the Money in the Bank, he ended up cashing in on Chris Jericho. They had done some teases where he was going to cash in on John Cena. Mm-hmm. And he said, actually, the plan at one point was for him to cash in on Cena. However, Cena refused to do the job. So they changed the plans to Jericho. So that's the first time that story, I believe, has been out there.
There's a lot of stories, Raj. See, and, you know, and I spoke very openly. And you get criticism when you do that from the people that do like it was a very real problem at different times with there where he is vocal on things because he had a lot of power and things. And we heard it again with the Nexus stuff, right? That's a confirmed story from you got guys like Edge and Jericho that are very respected, right? So fans then you can't say anything. You can't say, well, they're making it up. There's too many instances and people in the business know. People in the business know. And it's something that's John's choice. That's how he chose to conduct business. It sucks, but you know, you when you're there, you get a spot. You try to protect it, but it really sucks because it's ungrateful, and it's not because everybody helps make each other there. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things I'm very proud of. I've never politicked out of anything, because I mean, like, never, not once, never. I'm like, I'm not losing to that person, though. Like, that's very telling. And I said, John is great in the ring, and I'll never talk bad about John in the ring, but there's personal stuff, you know. And I think outside, I'm happy he's having success and other things. I'm not going to talk, but personally, man, I have my fair share of stories, and I just, it's not how I conduct business. It's not how a lot of people. And I commend Hager for having the courage to just at least mention it, because you do get hate from people that be like, oh, you're just bitter or angry. No, you're just telling a true fact on what happened, right, over a thing. And it sucks because it's entertainment, and that John was already at that point made too. Why wouldn't you help elevate? See, that's part of the problem with the roster we saw in Vincent. They have their model too, but then you got Cena in there when he picks his spots to stop guys. We saw this multiple times. It sucks. And it's not, I don't agree with it, but that's how he chose to do business. And, you know, I think it's good that Hager mentioned that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Speaking of which, the Bella twins, who are kind of linked to Cena, I guess.
they did more ways than one. More ways than one.
At least Nikki, but they did an interview this past week, and they said they want to have another run in WWE and go after the women's tag team titles. So they have not closed the door on working for WWE.
Didn't they retire?
I don't know if they officially said they retired. I do think they officially said they're retired, but you know what that means.
yeah. No, that's what I was just like. No. If they think they can go back and, you know, when you got to just, you know, it's like, you know, when I want wanting to go back and been out of the game for a couple years, knowing like in TV wrestling for 4.5 years right now, I know I got to really, like, I'm confident as ever, but I know I do the work, but you got to, like, it's work. Like, you got to get in the ring and do the work too. That's the last phase for me. And I'm very aware of it. You know, we've seen it too with guys like Goldberg that go back and they don't get in the ring really. They do the weight room thing and it doesn't translate nearly as well. Granted, he's not with his style, doesn't maybe necessarily the shorter matches, maybe not as big of a deal. But if they're going back, you just gotta today too, you gotta make sure, like, you gotta step up your game because you got talent that are young and hungry going out there every day or training routinely, you know. And you want to step in. It's not to say, you know, putting together one match is one thing, but if you're trying to come back for on a more regular term basis, you just got to be prepared to get back in the game mentally and physically. And I think sometimes for people, I think when you away mentally, it could be the hardest part, you know, to put yourself back in. They got families now. It's not the same. You age, you know. That's why I won't change my training. I train the same way that I did, like, keep, because I don't want to lose that. I don't want to forget that. And but they've obviously given birth. It's a different ball game. But I love, man, they're super popular. People love them. They've had all the success in the world. If that's what they want to do, as long as, you know, just go back and give it your all.
I mean, you could argue they're more well known than almost everyone on that roster. No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. Speaking of retirement, The Undertaker, they're doing his final farewell at the Survivor Series next week. We have an interview with Savio Vega at WrestlingInc.com, and he confirmed that he's going to be there. And a lot of his old Bone Skull crew members are going to be there. So Rikishi will be there. Papa Shango, the Godfather, the Godwins will be there. So they're treating it like it's the real deal.
I saw that, and I think that's pretty cool, man. Godfather, he's a good follow on Instagram. I see him at the gym every once in a while out here too. Such a nice guy. And man, but he had a lot of moments with Undertaker throughout his career at various points. And then that whole crew of guys, bunch of big, huge guys, man, you put those guys next to that. That I would like to see that group of guys with today's talent. Like those were some big guys, man, height wise and just size wise overall. But yeah, I think that's going to be a good trip down memory lane. And I'm happy for all of those guys. They get to go have that moment. I think that's, as you get older in life and you realize how special moments are, you know, those guys held that roster up for what majority of the 90s and probably past that a bit. You know, Godfather was there, I mean, for a long time and always figured in and part of that. And those guys, those are, you know, who I grew up watching. So I have nothing but love and respect for them. And you know, and they get to have that moment and go be around because you don't always see the guys, you know, after you leave and stuff. So I think it's going to be a cool moment for all of them.
You mentioned those, you know, those are some big guys. The Undertaker was actually asked in an interview this week with Yahoo and The Wrap about how much time the WWE Championship should be placed on a big guy. And Undertaker said that size is important. He said, it doesn't necessarily have to be a big, big guy, but we have stretched the realms of reality some ways with some of our champions. When you see some of the guys that they have to work with, it's like, okay, I get it. We're sports entertainment. But my whole goal when I went to the ring, I don't care if you're smart, not smart, whatever. I want people thinking this dude's legit. And if I hit somebody, I want people in the front row going, no, dude, he hit him. I don't care what happened in the match before. He just lit him up. This is on. So it's hard. We're starting to get a little bit of an influx of big guys, but it's just kind of where, because there's so much new talent, you can't put the title on a guy just because he's big. And back in the day, we had a ton of big guys. He said, you got to fit someone in the middle of the road, a guy that you'll believe working with a big guy, but can also work with a little guy. But there are certain guys that we've had, I won't bring in names, but I just don't buy it. I don't buy this as my champion. And it's not any fault of their own other than they're physically not able to match up against certain people.
100% valid points. And I think it's one of the deals you're asking people. It's like a movie. You suspend your belief. You don't want to be questioning that you're watching a movie when you watch it, seeing, you know what I mean? Like, and that's with wrestling, it's much the same. And I think that's one of the things we've gotten to. It is entertainment. And like, I'm on both sides. I do see all sides of this. And what happens though, is when you start stretching it too far, now then that's where the audience starts going away though, because you lose that, the whole goal of it, even though it's entertainment, is when you're watching it, you want to forget you're watching phony fake wrestling. Mm-hmm. You want to get into it and you don't want to be embarrassed about watching it. And if you got a 120-pound person taking down a 400-pound man with ease, with all these orchestrated spots, you're just like, you can't suspend your belief for that. You can't. So I think Undertaker, he's spot on, man, with all that. And that's not being, and that's not to say you can't, you have all these guys on the roster. You just have to use them and get them over in a way where you're not trying to get them over like they don't have to be the world heavyweight champion to be the most over person on the show. If you're creative enough and use guys the right way, you know, UFC with the weight divisions and fighting Bellator, all these, you have lightweights that are huge draws. Conor McGregor. You know, if you put Conor in the ring with the big heavyweights,
right?
That's not to say that Conor can't. You never discount anyone, but it he's in for some trouble if he, you know, even if you put a Brock Lesnar in there with him,
right?
That's a huge weight advantage, and it's a huge in fighting but you don't even put those in. You don't put your stars in that position to begin with. Where wrestling, every once in a while you can, because it is wrestling. A Rey Mysterio and a Kevin, you know, whatever. And a Kevin Nash, whatever it is, something, the rant where you do it occasionally, but you can't do it too much. And that's what, I mean, you can, it's wrestling, you can, but it really, I think Undertaker, man, is spot on with his assessment of that. And that's, it's an opinion. I have my opinion, you know, but that's kind of the business model of WWE. And it's tough when you put a smaller guy there, because you got to have it mapped out that who's he going to work, who's he going to avoid. You know, but then oftentimes you just see it's the same. He just beats whoever he's in there with, or like, it can be tough.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, wrestling, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief, but there's only so much you can, you know, before it gets ridiculous. So I totally get Undertaker's point. For Star Wars fans, Sasha Banks is in The Mandalorian. Her episode dropped today, so you can check that out.
Very nice. Congratulations on that. That's a big role.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. That show has a lot of buzz.
Got Baby Yoda behind me right now.
Yeah, there you go. Tony Khan got a little bit of flack this week. Before Dynamite, he tweeted out that the balance of power in wrestling will shift tonight. Yeah. And that got people going all crazy, wondering if Brock is coming in or if AEW is going to work with New Japan. And it just turned out that Pac returned and they had done a vignette for him last week. So it's kind of a Dixie Carter kind of thing where overpromising. I remember there was one time where Dixie Carter teased a gigantic surprise that'll change wrestling. Ended up being Tommy Dreamer. But in her defense, she had been working on getting on Paul Heyman and it didn't finalize.
Nope. I think that's the beginning though of them. And Cody's mentioned they're going to be expanding and doing things that they think people, maybe their original fan base probably didn't know they were going to do or didn't think. This is a long-term, that was a long-term message. That wasn't a one-show message. And it was, but Pac's a great talent. He's been gone for 8 months.
Yeah.
And, but it's the, you know, they have in Shaq on the show, which is, you know, Shaq, but he's the guy has a huge following. For them, just getting these big stars on the show, raising awareness for this new wrestling company. It's, you know, and here's the thing though, God forbid people are going to complain regardless. So that's in wrestling. Very rarely you just, or when you make an announcement, you know, Vince with back in the day when Vince, whatever it was, where he was the, what was the thing where Vince was the unveil was Vince?
Right, the higher power.
The higher power. Yeah, like it's never, I mean, everyone, it always, I remember being a kid and being like, oh man, that didn't really, you know, that didn't seem, I thought it was going to be something else. It's always kind of, those are tough to do, but at least you create some excitement where you get people to tune in and generate a little bit of excitement that's kind of gone in today's wrestling. And in my opinion, if you look at it where, maybe they're saying, and down the road there's going to be some surprises coming in, and there is going to be a balance of power. And he has, you don't give him everything at once, man. I could tell you right now, if they would have signed Brock, he would have gotten so much shit from people. That how dare you're going to he's going to like, I people are going to complain. You can't listen to that wrestling audience. The sooner I know they're aware of this, and it's great. You do what you do to get going, and you listen. But you don't listen. You have a game plan and you execute. And they got some good minds there, man. And that, like, it's going to be good. Like, I already know it's going to be good. And I really do think, I'm telling you, they're going to be the number one promotion with what they're doing. WWE, as big as they are, I'm telling you, AEW is the future. It is 100% the future of pro wrestling. So you may as well get used to it. They treat the wrestlers better. So every fan should be so pumped for that. For your favorite wrestlers, because the only reason you watch wrestling is because of the wrestlers. You don't watch it because of the actual brand. So right. That's, man, he's gonna get flack no matter what he does. There's people, because it's that fan base, they're the only ones. They always complain. You know it, they always complain about everything. They don't talk about what they like, they only talk about what they don't like, not only in wrestling, but in life. And you just have to wash them out and just stay to the game plan and keep putting out great content and learning from the mistakes. And it's, as a wrestler, I'm excited what they're doing. So,
yeah. And you had mentioned Shaq. Jade Cargill was introduced on this past week. Past week's episode of Dynamite. I mean, she's got super look. Clearly, she's got promo skills. It was her first promo ever. So, granted, it probably went a little long, but she's got a ton of potential. She was signed to a multi-year deal with AEW. So, and she's close with Shaq. So that's part of the reason they're bringing Shaq in. Now, the one thing I was kind of surprised about with the Shaq thing was it didn't really generate any media publicity. But it does seem like they're headed in that direction. Cody versus Shaq. Shaq was supposed to wrestle. Sheesh, that's hard to say. Shaq was supposed to wrestle Big Show. at WrestleMania a couple years ago, that fell apart. He did appear in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania 32, but yeah, so that's, it seems like that's where they're headed.
And congratulations to her for that. And, you know, Brandy, I thought, cut a hell of a fiery promo at her. Like, Brandy, I actually had birthday dinner that night and missed, that was the first episode I've missed of Dynamite. And I went back and caught a few parts, and that was one of them that I caught. And I go, man, Brandy, that was a hell of a, she was fired up. And I didn't see, did Shaq actually show up on that or no? No, she didn't actually show up, right?
No, he was actually at the pay-per-view backstage. They showed him backstage, but yeah, he wasn't on this show.
I will tell you, from a wrestler standpoint, and Shaq being retired, like, I do question, you know, Cody, obviously, Cody's a smart guy. Right. Whatever they're doing, there's something figured in. Cody, though, has that is in getting the crossover appeal and understanding and learning from his dad how valuable that is attracting new viewers to the show. And he's doing it. He's not putting one of the other wrestlers in a position. It's himself. And like, I think he'll know how to work that match to the best of his ability to have it make sense for whatever it is. It's more than just a match. There's some sort of story going on here. Cody's a storyteller, and there will be a story figured in. So that is where I'm intrigued, is what story are they going to tell me with this? Not so much about the match. I just know the match is gonna be a piece of the story. So I think I don't think it's a bad move, man. At least they're giving a Shaq wrestling. WWE can never pull the deal off.
Well, yeah. And if you look at, you know, to your point about bringing in a outside star, I mean, you look at when WWE had their big periods of growth. But the first one was with Mr. T, and helped a lot. Then they tried it with Lawrence Taylor. That one didn't work when they were nosediving. Then Mike Tyson, and that helped, you know, spawn the Attitude Era. So if done right, it can make a big difference.
And it opens the door for other big guests, because you start adding those people to your network. They're like, well, and you reach out to someone like, oh, well, Shaq did it. And like, it was a good little deal. It got a lot of publicity. It's very, very smart.
Yeah.
I like it. They've done that with other people.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people honestly don't know about AEW. So it just gets that name out there. So
it does. And then you start seeing people that you saw before on WWE or other people, and then you see their new stars. And then all of a sudden you have a new fan. It's part of the process, and you can't listen to the hardcores. You cannot listen to them. You got to shut them out and just put earmuffs onto them and let them and Meltzer type on their keyboard lies and just keep building. And I'm telling you, they're going to go to the promised land, and wrestling is going to be, I'm excited, man.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of, this is an interesting thing. WWE announced the 18th annual WWE tribute to the troops. It'll air on Fox on Sunday, December 6th. Now, this is actually kind of a huge deal, because it's going to be airing in adjacently with the NFL games. So they're going to get a lot of the lead in from the NFL. So they could potentially be, you know, an NFL game nowadays on Sunday right now is doing about 15 million viewers. So if they hold on just a fraction of that audience, you're talking 4 to 5 million viewers. It'll be the most watched WWE show this year, probably almost guaranteed. So the people with an NFL match airing at 1 p.m. Eastern will watch Tribute to the Troops at 4:30 Eastern, whereas the ones in the locations where there's an NFL game at 4:05 Eastern, they can watch the special at 3 p.m. Eastern. So again, there's a, you know, usually these are kind of throwaway shows that are just meant to be happy, but this might be one of those rare occasions where you might want to do a little more, because there is going to be a huge amount of people tuning in.
Yeah, that's a good business decision on their part. If that's with that lead in, if that, and but it will be telling if they don't get that number, that's going to be
right.
That's going to be disappointing on their end, especially from seeing that. And that's what, that's the percentage they want to see. So I don't know, man. Yeah, I think it's good, though. It's a good, we'll see what happens. I think, no doubt, though, I think it is going to be one of their best numbers, if not the best one of the year. So,
yeah. And speaking of which, to the ratings, last Friday's SmackDown did 2.315 million viewers on Fox. Now, what's even more impressive with that is when the election hadn't been called yet, and they were expecting Joe Biden to speak that night. So it's against a lot of news coverage. It did its best number. I believe it's the best number since the pandemic started.
Did you say 2.5?
2.315.
2.3, okay.
Yeah, the best since the post-WrestleMania show. And the Bayley versus Sasha Banks match that opened the show did over 2.5 million viewers. So it's the most watched match since March.
Oh, wow.
On anything. So, and then the rating dropped from there. It dropped 15% by the end. But it was a big success in that Sasha versus Bayley match. That was a big deal.
Yeah. And those two always seem to do well. And it's, you know, they've been there a bit now, and you can't argue that, you know, in pulling those numbers. They have to be happy about that. And for SmackDown, considering everything going on, that seems to, it's definitely the top show with numbers wise with them. And whatever they're doing over there, you know, you got to see. Well, I think it's just more of the talent, maybe not the talent specifically, but that Raw had a lot of new people on it the last year with everything with COVID, which really, really hurts in my opinion. But we just got to see. I genuinely want to see what the ratings come back with overall for all promotions. Because this whole year's been a throwaway. Did we lose another chunk like we've been losing? You know, it looks like that is the case, but we got to wait and just see, like I said. So, but in the meantime, it's survival mode at week to week. And that is at least a breathe a little easier this week on their end.
Right. Raw this past week, they were up slightly, to up 2% this past week. The ratings this week were kind of surprising because you didn't have the strong news coverage, but for the most part, they were only up a little bit. Raw was up 2%. They did 1.656 million viewers. It started with 1.85 million in the first hour and then kind of nosedived after that. The second hour did 1.69 million. The third hour did 1.532. Both the second hour is their fifth lowest second hour ever, and the third hour was the fifth lowest third hour ever. So, you know, again, it was that first hour that really got it, and then it just went downhill from there.
That's been the theme. It's tough. I mean, 3 hours to have people watch on a show that's not firing on all cylinders is a tough sell, and people are tuning out. You have so many options today, you know, for all wrestling programs, you got to look at, like the viewing habits have changed so drastically with all of us, with the options we have and people having their cell phones while watching shows. And it's a lot harder to keep people's attention, and let alone 3 hours, no crowds, even though you got the Thunderdome. And you've lost your big, big stars. You know, today's top stars were kind of, a lot of them were not booked as well the last 5-6 years for a good outside of a couple. So it's just changed. There's a lot of things working against them on that. So, and they're going to have a tough, like in building new stars, it's something you gotta be looking at that. Like, but I don't know that, I don't, like I've said, it's not the business model there, and it's just the way that it is. And, you know, here it is. Raw's they're in most people's opinion, I would say Raw's probably their worst of the three shows.
Yeah, absolutely. That third hour just is brutal. And you're not going to get in new fans, because how are you going to get new fans to sample a show that's 3 hours long?
Yeah.
So it's a problem. AEW and NXT, last week they faced the night after the election, you know, where everything was still in motion. And so I think a lot of people are expecting big gains, especially for AEW, because they were coming off of pay-per-view. But they only did 764,000 viewers, up 6.7% from last week, but down 21% from last year when they had their post-Full Gear episode. NXT, they were up 4% from last week. They did 632,000 viewers. They were also down from last year. I believe it was 15%.
Yeah.
So 16% from last year. So a mixed bag. They're both up. Still down from last year where they were last year.
And too, I think with AEW specifically, you know, not having crowds, I think there's a portion of wrestling fans that won't watch wrestling without the crowds that have left right now. I do think a portion of them are going to come back. Once that's why I was saying I'm really interested to see what they're like. I'm specifically interested in seeing AEW numbers with full crowds, with what they're doing. But, you know, even like I caught, you know, like when Darby Allin came running out to make the save for Cody, It's like that would, I think, under normal circumstances, been a pretty fired up reaction for the crowd, especially with the momentum he's been given a little bit and built up. And there's no energy there for it because there's not enough people. Right. So it and that comes off on TV, and it's nobody's fault. Right. You can't get it. You can't have energy if there's no energy there. You can't have the reaction if there's, you know, a stadium where the people are spread out, and that even if they are loud as can be, it's not going to come off nowhere near the same as a full audience. So you're like these moments that are really key moments right now happening in wrestling, specifically for AEW on multiple things, that reaction's not coming across on TV. So the people can't feel that excitement. Mm-hmm. That's why it's just right now, this is the forgotten period in wrestling, but the shows, they have to try. They can't not try. They can't you know what I mean? So you're in a really tough position. Like you got to put out a product. You got to try to do things. It just so happens. It's survival mode right now. Let's just get through this. And then when the crowd is back, hopefully those numbers start coming back and they can keep building on top of that with what they're doing. But it hurts, man, not having a crowd. And and this is for all promotions. The numbers would not be this low for any of the promotions if there were full crowds right now. So,
yeah. Yes, it's kind of a lost year in a lot of ways as far as wrestling goes, but yeah, it's still hopefully this point next year we'll look back and be like, can you believe that? That seems like so long ago.
No, it's all we could hope for. I think everyone, man, is of the we all want to. Yeah. This has been a crazy year, and we're here and talking. They're talking about other shutdowns again, and some places are, and it's right. Hopefully that vaccine though. That's good news as far as if that's what it's going to take to get things going again. But yeah, we'll see what the conversation is. It's a week to week thing.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, we started a little bit late today, but you guys next week, we'll get more of your comments in for sure. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Ryback, and thank you for having me on.
Likewise, Raj, anything to plug to wrap up this week?
Keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. Again, as always, we've got tons of interviews, exclusives. It's been very newsworthy. We just recently had Savio Vega, like I mentioned, Court Bauer, talking about MLW's restart, MJF, Rocky Romero. So keep checking out WrestlingInc.com.
Good deal. And this week I have David Benoit on the Ryback Show, guys, if you want to check that out on all podcast platforms, on Ryback Rules on Twitch and Ryback TV here on YouTube, and Feed Me More Nutrition, available on feedmemore.com. New customers can save 20% with discount code new customer. Returning customers can save 10% with discount code podcast10. Thank you very much for listening. You've just listened to another episode of the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed Me More.